Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Sound Heart Radio. This show tonight is part one of possibly three shows. And I want to speak about the conflict system or the world and how the conflict system actively attacks our spiritual well-being. So the word cosmic, of course, is taken from the word cosmos or the word cosmetic, which means to decorate. And that is just what the world does. The world is decorated in such a way so as to seduce believing ones away from their rest in Jesus. So the world is very seductive, it is very powerful, and it is through the way the world is decorated or the cosmic system is decorated that believers are attacked in a subtle, not in an overt manner, but in a very subtle manner, in a seductive manner. And so in this way, the spiritual well-being of the believer is undermined with his or her cooperation. And so the enemy wants you to cooperate with him in your undoing, in your spiritual destruction. He wants your cooperation. And so please understand this concept. The world does not let the believer rest. And the word rest is used in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's used in the book of writer to the Hebrews, means to make to cease, to make to cease, to make to stop. Jesus is our rest. Now, as part one of this particular topic, I would like to bring to your attention the book of Nehemiah, which presents Jesus, our restorer. Jesus, our restorer. So, and both Ezra and Nehemiah portray Jesus as our restorer. Excuse me. So, Nehemiah is all about leadership, and leadership means influence, or one who influences people. And leaders must prepare themselves for difficult work because it won't be easy. There is no winning without warfare. There is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. For whenever the people of God say, "Let us rise and build," Satan says, "Let me arise and oppose." Leaders must have a big vision. And Nehemiah had one. And his was, "Through me, God is going to correct a problem that's been around for 150 years. Again, Nehemiah's vision. "Through me, God is going to correct a problem that's been around for 150 years. And so Nehemiah was a great leader. And because he was a great leader and he had a great vision for God, the enemy was going to, will certainly attack him. Nehemiah understand that prayer is essential to leadership. And let me remind you that if your vision is so big that only God can accomplish it, then obviously you must pray. And if prayer isn't yet absolutely necessary to accomplish your vision, your goal isn't big enough. Please read Proverbs 25:28. So Nehemiah is visited by a group of believers. Nehemiah enjoys security and prestige as the king's cupbearer. There is no need for him to be concerned about the needs of people hundreds of miles away. And so Nehemiah says of these visitors in chapter 1, verse 3, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Now there's a lot in these verses. I want you to note that this man prayed. And this is the prayer of a man of action. This is the prayer of a man of compassion and action. And he prayed to his great God, verses 4 to 9. And please note that the primary confession in Nehemiah's prayer is the sin of the nation. He talks about intergenerational sin. He talks about sin, the word that he uses. He writes, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And so the word that he uses for sin means wrongdoing. That is a failure or a coming short of that aim which God intended for all his children to reach. The word that Nehemiah uses for sin implies blameworthiness and is largely used in confessions to express a conviction that wrong has been done toward God or towards man. Sin in the Old Testament is a definite act, whether a thought, word, or deed. It embraces moral evil and idolatry, as well as breaches of ceremonial regulation. And so Nehemiah was a godly man who knew that as a leader he needed God. And he knew that he had to get right with God through confession. Nehemiah understood 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, whenever a believer sins, sin leaves a wound. And that wound left by sin must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. See, there are no little sins. So, Nehemiah, as the cupbearer to the king, was a man of power and influence. And the king saw on his countenance something that he had never seen before. And the king asked his faithful servant, "What is wrong with you? Why does your face look so sad?" This is chapter 2, verse 2. When you are not ill, this can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, this is a very important statement. I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, because he is led by the Spirit of God, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven. And please note that Nehemiah called God the God of heaven because God has no temple to dwell in on the earth. So he is called the God of heaven. So, verse 4, king says, "What is it that you want?" And he said in verse 5, "I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah, where my fathers are buried, so I can rebuild it." The king's heart is opened to him because God has opened his heart. And God has blessed Jeremiah to go and do this wonderful vision, to complete, to execute, to do this wonderful vision. And this had been a problem. This problem had existed for around 150 years. And so Nehemiah wanted to be God's man to go and correct this wrong. Verse 6, and the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back? Please the king to send me." So I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah, and I may have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request." So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of Israel. I want to stop there tonight because there's so much that is here. And in our next show, we're going to study about the vision inspection, division revealed, and division support. Beloved, our God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about those words. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I ask or think. If God has given you a great vision, then only a great God can execute that vision. But you must submit to him. You must confess to him. You must have a vision that is so great that only God can bring it to pass. God will give you rest, and God will give you, and God will protect you in the cosmic system to do his will. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.